morning to Psalm 96. We started the exposition of this psalm last Sunday, and I call it the mission psalm, and as I studied it more, it's also a millennial psalm, and I believe those two things go together. Verse 1, O sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless His name. That's what we covered last week. Certainly if you're saved by the grace of God, you've got something to sing about. You've got something to praise God about in your life. And it ought to be a new song, a song of redemption, of salvation, of deliverance from the penalty of sin, deliverance from the power of sin, and ultimately rejoicing in the future deliverance from the very presence of sin. Sing. Sing with your hearts filled with joy and gladness. Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs that glorify our God. Now he goes on to say, and this is what we're going to cover today, show forth His salvation from day to day. Declare His glory among the heathen, His wonders among all people. For the Lord is great, and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before Him. Strength and beauty are in His sanctuary. These verses call upon us to show and declare God's glory on a day-to-day basis throughout all the world. And I think it's significant that he starts off in verse 2 by saying, show forth His salvation from day to day. Every believer who has this new song of praise in his heart and in his mouth ought to show the world the mighty change that the gospel has produced by living for the Lord every day, by exalting His name, by blessing Him, exalting Him. And I wonder today, do you think about this in your day-to-day life? Do you show forth in the way you live, the way you talk, your attitudes, the way you interact with people, do you show forth His salvation from day to day? You see, if you're saved, then it ought to be a way of life with us. Look over with me to Philippians chapter 2, and then we'll go to Titus. We'll go in order. Philippians chapter 2, and look at what the apostle says here. And verse 14. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Here the call is, live your life in such a way that people see that you've been saved by the grace of God. That you're not given over to complaining and murmuring and grumbling, but rather you're holding forth the Word of life. You're showing forth His salvation from day to day. And that's precisely what Jesus was aiming at when He said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. This is what we're responsible to do. To show forth, to declare this salvation from day to day. Another exhortation is over in Titus chapter 2. Look over at Titus chapter 2 and verse 10. Not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. I wonder, are you adorning the doctrine of God, your Savior? In everything that you do, can people see you showing forth His salvation and the glory of the Savior from day to day? For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness, things that are unlike God, that displease Him, denying those things, and worldly lusts. See, as a believer, part of showing forth God's salvation from day to day is to deny yourself the things of this world that are unholy and impure and ungodly. That's one aspect of Christianity that is rarely ever touched upon. But He also says we should live soberly, righteously, right living, and godly, a desire to be more like Christ in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. See, the Old Testament says, show forth His salvation from day to day. Jesus Christ said, let your light so shine before men. Paul the Apostle affirmed this teaching, that you're to show forth the grace of God with your life. By the way you live, day by day, showing others the way of salvation through the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, that name, and that name which represents His work and His gospel, is the only one that can save. You know, after Peter preached, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. Do you know the next verse, what that next verse says? I'm going to tell you what it says. I like the little silence there for the suspense. It says, now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. They were not men of letters. They weren't men of renown. They were not men of wealth. They thought they were unlearned and ignorant. It says, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them. That they had been with Jesus. This is what stood out behind their message. As they were showing forth His salvation from day to day, they saw that these men had been with Jesus, that His life, His ministry, His work had transformed their lives so much that they were going about teaching and preaching from door to door and at every house that Jesus Christ is Lord. And the power of it and the effect of it was so great that the Bible says later on that they filled Jerusalem with their doctrine. And by the time you get to Acts chapter 17, it says that they had turned the world upside down. That's what showing forth, declaring, showing and declaring His salvation from day to day, that's what it accomplishes. You see, show others how God has saved you by a life that's dedicated to His glory. Psalm 145 and verse 2, every day will I bless Thee, and I will praise Thy name forever and ever. This is your responsibility if you're saved by the grace of God. I wonder, when the ice storm hit us, nobody had any power. Well, we still had the power of God, but we didn't have electricity. I wonder, were we showing forth His salvation from day to day? You see, this is not just a Sunday proposition where we dust off our Bibles and we put on some decent clothes and brush our teeth for the week, and then go to church. No, this is not just a one-day, Sunday proposition. It says we're to live this way from day to day. It's missing in our culture. And it's one of the reasons why there's so much ungodliness, why there's no concern for the will of God or the Word of God. People are not declaring His salvation from day to day. It's why in government men can say that the will of God has no place in this Congress. We're not concerned with that at all. It's simply because people aren't showing forth God's glory, His salvation, from day to day. And it's reflected from top to bottom. This is one of the reasons why I believe the fulfillment of Psalm 96 in all of its glory will be during the millennial reign, where everyone throughout the entire earth, everybody's going to be singing the praises of the Lord. Everybody's going to be declaring how great and wondrous and marvelous and powerful our God is. But until that day comes, it's our responsibility that are saved to show forth His salvation. And it's worthy, this command to show and declare day by day is worthy of our obedience each and every day. I think it's significant that He says this in verse 3. Declare His glory among the heathen, His wonders among all people. Who are the heathen? Well, when this psalm was written, in context, it was the Gentiles. The Jews regarded everyone that was not in their nation, under their laws, in covenant with Jehovah, they considered them to be heathen. Now, I hate to burst your self-esteem bubble, but that's you and me. We were Gentiles. We still are. Physically, we're Gentile nations. This glory is to be declared throughout all the earth. That was a revolutionary statement. Because the Jews, by the time you get to the New Testament, they thought they were the only ones God was showing any grace to, even though He had given hints throughout the entire Old Testament, and especially when Christ came on the scene, that He was going to extend this message of grace to all the world. So where are the heathen today? You might be sitting next to one of them. The heathen are people that don't know God, that don't regard His will. You say, well, I thought they were only over in other countries of the world. No, man, there's plenty of heathen in America. Go to Walmart one day. You got a fertile field of labor right there in Wally World. There are plenty of heathen there. Any time of any day. Plenty of people that don't know the Lord. All up and down these hollers where we live, in our county, in our state, in our country, in our world, those who know not God are part of the heathen. I'm so glad somebody declared His glory to this heathen over 40 years ago. And God changed my heart with the glory of the message. Now He says something I think is very specific that most people don't connect. And that is, declare His glory among the heathen. His wonders among all people. Declare His glory. Now we know in the New Testament, it's plainly spelled out what this glory is. The Bible says in John 1:14, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory." The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The revelation of Jesus Christ as the Word of God, the living Word, who came to communicate God's glory and His way of salvation, the message of Christ. He is glory personified. When the disciples in John 14 asked, "Show us the Father," Jesus said, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I express the brightness of His glory, His majesty, His excellency." All the glory of God is invested in Jesus Christ and in His work. In fact, the Bible says this, it's why I believe that God, Jesus Christ, is God's final Word. In Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 2, it says this. Verse 1 says that God spoke in different ways, in diverse ways and manners by the prophets in the Old Testament. But it says in verse 2, "hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom He also He made the worlds." Notice that. There is an aspect here of the glory of God in the person of Christ, recognizing that He was active and present and participated in the creation of the worlds. See, most people deny, there are people sitting in churches today that deny that God is the Creator. Listen to what it says. about Jesus Christ. Verse 3. Who being the brightness of what? Of His glory. And the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. You want to see the glory of God? It's in the finished work of Jesus Christ. It's in His incarnation as the God-man. His perfect life, fulfilling all of the law of God inwardly and outwardly. His sacrificial death. He's the only one who was qualified to put away the sins of His people by the sacrifice of Himself. He did it successfully. He put them all away, and He rose again from the dead, and He's alive forevermore. He is the glory of God. We're to declare His glory. We're to show forth His salvation and declare the glory, the majesty, the excellence of God in the person of Christ every single day, everywhere we go. And I think it's also significant that when God saves a sinner who was formerly blinded and in darkness, who was dead, how does the Bible describe this glorious transaction? Well, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, in verses 3 and 4, it says, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the god of this world, Satan, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light," listen, "of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto them." Now verse 16 shows how this was personalized and experienced in the heart of the Corinthians and also everybody that's ever been saved. What does it say? In verse 6, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." How amazing is it, if you're saved here today, that God opened up your heart, your mind, and changed your will, and literally shined His glory into you and revealed that Jesus died for you, that He was buried, and that He rose again, and that His work put away your sins and you're forgiven. It's described as gaining a knowledge of God in the face of Jesus Christ. It's not talking about a picture. It's talking about faith in the work of Christ. That's the glory. Declare His glory among the heathen. This is the message that needs to be preached everywhere. It's the only hope. You look at every religion started by mere men, whether it's Islam or Confucius, Buddhism, all these Eastern mystery religions, the Babylonian mystery religion, they're all work-centered. They're all based on how man can lift himself. There's only one in all the world that guarantees eternal life, not by works which we have done, but according to His mercy that He saved us. Only one that says, "Look and live." Only one that says, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." Only one that says, "Faith in Him will forgive you, cleanse you, and make you right with God, and you don't have to do anything for it. It's all of grace, and it's based on God rather than you." This is the message. And I'm going to tell you, if a church or a preacher or a religion is not preaching what Jesus declared Himself to be when He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by Me," they are a false prophet. If they're preaching any other way or any other gospel, Paul the Apostle said, "Let them be accursed." Now you think about the millions, the billions that have been saved through the ages. The multitudes who have beheld His glory out of every nation, kindred, tribe, and tongue, whose lives have been changed by the almighty power of God and embraced the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, this message was not to be confined to a nation only or to a people or race only. It must be declared throughout the whole earth. It's why we believe in missions. Why we as individuals believe that we're to share the gospel with everyone, and why we as a church believe that it's our responsibility to take the gospel to the whole world. Because all people need to hear. Declare His glory among the heathen, His wonders among all people. We ought to faithfully declare the wonders of God. Job said, Job 37:14, "Hearken unto this, O Job. Stand still and consider the wondrous works of God." Psalm 145:3, "Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and His greatness is unsearchable." There are so many wonders. I mean, you think about just the why anybody would want to rob God of His creatorial sovereignty. It's one of the wonders that caused that put awe and into my heart and reverence as I think that God Almighty created this entire universe by simply speaking it into existence. How amazing is that? How He controlled all of the climate when He determined to judge the antediluvian world. Look that up. You know what He did? He caused a worldwide flood. Before He did that, you want to see how He's in control of animals and creation? He brought animals of every kind and moved upon them to go right up the ramp of that ark and to go into where they were supposed to be until the flood was over. God controlled their carnal, carnivorous natures. He brought them from all over. Put them on. You say, you really believe that? I believe in climate change. I believe that is the world's greatest climactic event, is when God brought a worldwide flood and He brought a way of escaping it as well. I'm not a denier. If you believe in evolution, you're a denier of real climate change. God saved people on that ark, 8 of them. That's a wonder to me. How about when He calls the people to walk across the Red when he split the Red Sea open and enabled them to walk over dry shod, and then brought that same water back over on those Egyptians and on Pharaoh and those chariots of war and drowned them and judged them. That's God. Those are the wonders of God Almighty. How about the wonders of Jesus Christ, born of a virgin? Walked on water, fed multitudes on several occasions with a few loaves of bread and fishes. How he raised the dead, opened the eyes of the blind, touched the mouth of the dumb and made them speak, opened the ears of the deaf. Our God does wonders. Read about what Jesus did when he saved the demoniac of Gadara, who was naked and cutting himself, running among the tombs, and Jesus Christ saved him. And when the town people came up and they saw that man fully clothed and sitting at the feet of Jesus and in his right mind, they were astonished. That's the wonder of God. God's performed wonders in my heart. He took someone so blinded, and now I'm able to say, I see His glory. I see His work for me. You see, the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. We're going to stop there this morning because I want to get to some... Next week I want to look at the reasons specifically why we are to declare His glory among the heathen. We'll continue with that next Sunday. But this morning I wonder, is this personal to you? Have you really experienced God opening up your heart, your understanding? Has He shown you what you are? A sinner, broken. And has He showed you what you need? Jesus Christ alone. Nothing else. And have you experienced the fullness of this grace? I can tell you there's nothing more wonderful and glorious in all the world than to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. It'll change you forever. And it'll move you where you want to declare His glory. I wonder, are you doing it in your homes? In the workplace? In your everyday life? Is His praise in your mouth? Oh, that God would convict us. See, our world needs this message. That's why this psalm is so vital. Show forth His salvation from day to day. Declare His glory among the heathens, His wonders among all men. Let's all stand.